Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and I have been blessed for another day to be your hostess. We're blessed today in a mighty way. We have a wonderful young priest, and I was sort of kidding him when he came in. I said, how long have you been ordained? He is very, very young appearing, but filled with wisdom and grace beyond his years, and we're blessed to have him today. Father John Bartonek, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here, especially on the 6th of January.
Little Christmas.
Yeah.
We are blessed today to have Father in the studio with us, and I will open up the phone lines if that's okay with you, Father. Maybe somebody has a question or two they'd like to address to you. Also, actually, this was sort of a last-minute get-together, and I don't have the book that you were referring to. It wasn't passed to me, the better part. So maybe we could start off by telling our audience a little bit about yourself. I know you hail from Cleveland, Ohio, where you're stationed, and the work that God is calling you to do. We want to put this out early. I will mention it throughout the program. Father John will be at St. Norbert's this evening, and he will be giving a presentation on God's agenda. And if that's something that we all need to hear, it's that good news, God's agenda, not our agenda. And that'll be held at St. Norbert's tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. And we will get you the exact address for those of you who do not know how to get there. But Father John, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself, and especially your call into the priesthood.
Sure.
The year of the priest.
Yeah, the year for priests. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, as you mentioned, and I come from a family that wasn't really practicing any kind of religion. My parents we didn't go to church when I was growing up. When I was still a boy, my parents were divorced, and I lived with my mom, then my dad. My mother passed away, and through all my childhood, really kind of sports was our religion. Mm-hmm. I had two sisters, and they were all into sports, and my dad had been a professional athlete, and I didn't really meet Jesus Christ until I was a teenager. When I was about 13 years old, I had an experience of faith in a Protestant church, an evangelical church.
So often.
And that's how God touched my heart, gave me the gift of faith. I believed in him, started studying the Bible, went off to college. I went to California for college, went to Stanford University, far away from Cleveland, kind of the adventuresome choice. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I studied history. Now, when you study history, you know what you run across every corner. Every time you turn the corner, you're running across the Catholic Church.
Church history.
Yeah, church history. So I was studying Western civilization, European history, American history, and I kept running across the Catholic Church. My junior year, I spent some time overseas, on overseas campuses in Italy and in Poland. Mm. Now try to think of two more Catholic countries. That,
right. You know, so. God was drawing you gently.
He was already, you know, long before I realized it. So while I was there, I began to fall in love with the church. Just the beauty of the culture. I can still remember, I spent all my free time in churches and museums that were filled with works of Catholic art, which were the expressions of the Catholic faith right. through the centuries. And that just completely, I really, it sounds corny, but I really started to fall in love with the church.
Oh, I can relate.
Yeah, so after I got back from my senior year to college, I started kind of receiving instruction formally. I was received into the church in 1991, and even then already knew that I wanted to be a priest. I wanted
really?
I just wanted to give my whole life to serve this church. I was so in love. The priest that I was meeting with told me, well, you should be patient. You don't want to confuse things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're called to be Catholic with a call to be the priest, to be a priest. So I took that as a sign, and I continued working as a layman and even continued dating, thinking maybe God was going to call me to marriage. But it was just, the call wouldn't go away. It was like a sunrise. You know, yeah. It starts small, but once it starts, it keeps going. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So in 1993, I joined a religious congregation, the Legionaries of Christ.
Oh, you were a legionary?
Yes.
Oh,
indeed.
My goodness. My sons used to go to Italy with all...
The pilgrimages. With, yes. Yeah, sure. Oh, we have a great time there. Mm-hmm. So I joined then and was ordained then in 2003. And right now, I'm stationed in New York, where the Legionaries have a house of formation in White Plains, New York, which is not just north of Manhattan. I teach theology there, and I have a writing apostolate. And the latest book is this one that you mentioned, The Better Part.
Well, tell us a little bit about The Better Part and where we can get a hold of that book.
Sure. Well, the easiest place is Amazon.com.
Online,
obviously. Right. It's published by Circle Press, so circlepress.org also has copies. But The Better Part, it's interesting. It wasn't a book that I chose to write. It wasn't my idea. The Legionaries do a lot of work giving spiritual guidance to lay men and women, helping right. them to pursue holiness and build the church wherever God is calling them to be. And there was a common denominator among a bunch of our priests throughout the world, actually. They kept finding that the lay people they were working with were being called to deeper prayer, but there weren't resources that would help them meet, you know, kind of meet the challenges of today's world, which right. are many. Mm-hmm. So this kept coming up, and finally I got a note, an email from my superior saying, can you come up with something? And so that's where The Better Part came from.
Wonderful.
It's meant to be a tool to help people who feel called to a deeper prayer life, whether they're an experienced prayer or mm-hmm. whether they're a beginner. And it's meant to be very practical, but at the same time, substantial. So it's a guide to Christian meditation, really, personal prayer.
Mm-hmm. And is it released now? I mean,
yes, it's been out. It's in its third printing, actually.
Wonderful,
yeah,
Father.
So, The Better Part. It's kind of a fun book because it's divided up into about 303 different kind of units, and each mm-hmm. unit has a passage from the gospel. All four gospels are included in the book because you always want to go back into mm-hmm. the word
right.
in your prayer. So it has a passage from the gospel and then a four-part commentary on the gospel passage. And every one of those units has the same structure to the commentary. It's Christ the Lord, which is all about Christ's mission as Savior in the world. Mm-hmm. And then Christ the Teacher, which is about his doctrine and his example and how we're supposed to live. And then Christ the Friend, which is all
wow.
about the heart of Jesus, which is merciful and mm-hmm. good beyond our understanding and measure. And then finally, Christ in my life.
Wow.
How do I apply that to my life? So you can just take two or three pages. It's like a spiritual vitamin for every day. And it can help you pray in the midst of this world, which is, it makes it so hard to pray because it's so noisy
yes.
and it's so busy. You know how it is.
Yes.
So that's what this book is designed to do, to help people pray, even though they live busy lives in the middle of the world.
Right. Well, through the grace of God, we are what we are by His grace. How blessed we are that we know that we're no more than a vessel, but that God can get His message out to all of those that are open. And you are so open to say yes, not only to be drawn into the church, but to give your yes to the Lord and enter as a priest. How blessed we are. And also, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but now I'm going to expect a signed copy of The Better Part, because I will be very interested to read it, and we'll have you back at another time and thoroughly go through the book.
Absolutely.
And you're right. There's so much. I mean, you know, we have our phones, we have our fax, we have our email. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm even on Twitter. We just yes, have so much noise that what an opportune time to be able to take a book that's divided in that way.
Yeah.
And like you said, really ponder it. No need to go through it from read it as, you know, and ponder it, take it to heart, and get into each aspect of it. I love the teacher.
Yeah, Christ the teacher.
Christ the
well,
teacher.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We're all called to become experts in prayer.
Every one of us.
Yeah, because prayer is our relationship with God. And so if we're called to that, then it must be possible.
Yes.
You know, even if you're in the media, even if you're out in, you know, out in a busy world, you're a business person, wherever, even if you have 12 kids at home, you know, we are called to be experts in prayer. And the key to that, and what Pope Benedict has been saying over and over again since he was elected Pope, the key to that is understanding that prayer really is, it's a personal encounter with our Lord, the one who knows us, who loves us, who has a plan for us. And sometimes we can fall into thinking that prayer is either some kind of New Age exercise where we're supposed to achieve an inner state of equilibrium or something like that, that's not Christian prayer. Or we think it's just praying, saying prayers, just saying prayers and going through them. And so what we need is that element where we can kind of bridge into a more personal encounter, where I learn to recognize when he's speaking to me through the scriptures.
Exactly.
And I feel comfortable responding in the words of my own heart. So that's what the book is designed to do, and the people who use it have been very pleased with it, you know, which is, I'm so pleased with that. It's almost as if I wrote that during my second year of priesthood, and it was almost as if my 10 years in the seminary and my first year of priesthood was all just kind of getting me ready to write that.
You know, Father John, being you mentioning that, you know, the preparation, we don't know what God's preparing us for. I certainly didn't expect to be prepared to do this, but in retrospect, God was very much preparing my heart, and he's always stretching us, you know. The living waters grow water grows stagnant if it isn't flowing, and that's the beauty of the Spirit, you know, constantly renewing. A baptized Christian is filled with the Spirit from day one. However, you know, we're called to ask the Lord to renew us and refresh us every single day, and that kind of a book is a tool to do just that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so I'm going to be very anxious to read it.
Okay. Well, I promise I will get a signed copy to you. I should have brought it with me. But
that's right. Well, you thought I had one either. I'm going to be, and obviously this is for, you know, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Yep. It isn't written specifically for men.
No, as a matter of fact, that's an interesting question because, you know, I being a man, obviously, I wrote it. And we wanted to make sure that it would be useful both for men and for women. So we had the entire manuscript revised by a member of we have a lay movement called Regnum Christi, which is connected with the Legionaries.
Yeah.
And there's a branch of Regnum Christi of consecrated women who are, you know, they're not nuns, they don't live in a convent, but they consecrate their lives. Consecrated completely.
I have a lot of friends in that.
Okay, well, there you go. So we had a consecrated member of Regnum Christi, a woman, who was a writer herself. She reviewed the entire manuscript. And it was so funny because it's actually fairly long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she would send back comments. And you know, I was always, I kind of, what's she going to ask me to do now?
Yeah, nothing worse than somebody messing with your work.
Well, it wasn't, you know, she had these insights which were remarkable. And
from a woman's heart.
And so it was a perfect blend. It was such a gift to be able to have someone, you know, her perspective to say, well, add this or do more of this.
Right.
For instance, in the part, the Christ the Friend section, the commentaries, sometimes I'll write it in the first person singular from the perspective of someone who was in the scene, for instance, the widow of Nain.
Okay.
You know, in that section, I write it as if the widow is speaking about her experience when Jesus, you know, brought her son back to life for her. So I had done that in a couple of places. And so this consecrated woman wrote back and said, no, you need to do that in more places because that's very helpful. It makes it more personal.
Absolutely.
And so she actually made a list. Do it here, do it here, do it here.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, no, I have to rewrite those sections completely.
Right.
There's so much more work.
Right.
One of the things, that's the one thing that people who have read the book have commented most upon, that's the most helpful part.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? I mean, you talk about God knowing best, God's agenda. Yeah. He knew to reach the women as well as the men to have a mm-hmm. perfect balance.
Yeah, exactly.
He gave you a helpmate. Really.
Absolutely, you've got teamwork going on.
There
and,
you go.
And the Holy Spirit working, and it was there were a couple other things like that. So it really was a team effort, and even coming up with that original structure, mm-hmm. I formed kind of an ad hoc consultant committee with a couple other priests and some lay people who had been involved in giving spiritual guidance. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we want it to be Christ-centered. We want it to be substantial, but not overwhelming, but not too theological and practical. So it took us a while to come up with that structure of commentaries to meet all those goals. Mm. And it was really a team effort to do that. So right. That's how God works.
And not like God uses all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that our baptismal call for everyone is to go out and make disciples. That's my message when I go out. Do you know you have, mm-hmm. somebody else said, oh, Kathleen, I wish I have that. I wish I have your gift. I said, but you have your gifts. Are you using them?
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
always look to somebody else and like, wow, I'm listening to you about this book and the writing of it. And it certainly stirs something in your heart, but it's probably the Lord stirring something in our hearts mm-hmm. for us to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
To take a book like yours, to read through the chapters. And like you said, it's long.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so. So that by the time you reach that book, at the end of that book, you've grown spiritually, and you mm-hmm. probably don't even realize it, but others will see that growth
mm-hmm.
in you.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, because at the end of that book, the application is mm-hmm. how to apply mm-hmm. this in your daily living. And that's what we all need.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's in each of the units. You know, that's how you finish. The Christ in my life. There's a comment on each of the different 303 units on how to apply it. But what you're saying is very true. That you know, and Jesus said it. He said that, you know, it's the Father's will that we bear fruit, mm-hmm. fruit that will last. And every one of us. And as long as we're united to the vine,
right.
it's going to happen.
Right.
And branches. And how do we stay united? Through the sacraments and through prayer.
Absolutely.
Prayer, personal prayer, which actually helps us live the sacraments more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
If we spend that God time, I call it.
Yeah.
And we spend that God time every day just with Him alone. And just saying, Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I want to know you better.
Mm.
I want you to show me how to follow you, how to serve you, how to build your kingdom. And when we do that, it's like we give God more space to work in our lives and through us. I think, though, I don't know if this has been your experience, but I've had some experiences where you do something and you don't think it's having an impact on anyone. Mm-hmm. And you find out later that it actually did.
Yes. You think something very insignificant, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
And it comes back. You know, Father, it's amazing. And Carol, if you're out there listening today, I went up to speak. I was speaking in a parish, St. Maria Gretti, just last month, up in Wilkes-Barre. And I was encouraging them to use the gifts that they've been given. They're lying dormant within them, you know? And particularly us as Catholics, we're always thinking other people are gifted. But every baptized Christian, every Catholic has all of the Spirit, not a part of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. I went on, gave my presentation, prayed. The priest had the Blessed Sacrament out, and then he had everybody come up, did prayer for inner healing and so forth. Aside from that, at the end of the evening, I just spoke a few words to this one person. After all, just a few little words. And I can tell you that this woman called the radio station, got a hold of the radio station. Maureen gave her the number to call her back. I mean, a real miracle happened mm-hmm. through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was one of the passing moments of this evening.
Yeah.
And if I was only there for this moment to meet with Carol,
mm-hmm.
it was a moment of grace, one of those moments in our lives, and usually we don't even know about it. How good was God that I found out about
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. It's so many times it's in the little living, it's in daily living
mm-hmm.
That God's talking with us, moving through us, and if we're open to that, if we have ears to hear
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and a heart to receive, we're called to share it.
Yeah.
You know?
And we don't have to be holy, perfectly holy, for that to happen. Yeah, right. It's like God is, as His children, and He is so eager to spread His grace and draw the people that, you know, we just give Him a little bit of our attention, and He makes things happen.
That's right.
You're right, though. A lot of times we don't see it. And one of the things that's going to happen in heaven, God willing, we get there, is we're going to see all of the good that God has been able to do through our smallest effort to serve Him, to do the right thing. Even if it seemed like a failure from our perspective on earth.
Right. He works it together.
Yeah, all things work together for good for those who love God.
Yeah.
That's what the scriptures promise us. Mm. And so that's going to be one of the great, I just kind of picture it like a big movie theater, and you're watching all the repercussions of all the different things that happened in your life. And how God was able, through His providence, to just use them to really do something beautiful for all eternity.
Well, that's what I love. Pope Paul VI, dear to my heart, and when he did evangelization in the modern world, we forget that it's the Holy Spirit that is the principal agent of any conversion. It isn't us.
It's true. Absolutely
true.
You know? Absolutely
true. And I think sometimes we, I just spoke to a friend last night about it. Sometimes we're afraid to step out and do something, even though we feel a prompting. So we don't do it. And because we're really depending on ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we realize that it is the Holy Spirit, that He's the principal agent, we can't change anybody's heart. But if we're open to move in the Spirit, open to grace, as you said, to have eyes to see, you know, ears to hear, to read a book like you've put out, and then to be able to put it into practice daily, we will grow.
Absolutely.
It's just the way it is.
I had an experience when I was still a brother. We call each other brother until we're ordained priest. We're all ordained priests eventually. There's no permanent brothers in our. So I was still a brother, and I was traveling with the priest. We were visiting a family in Minnesota, and we got on a plane, one of these little propeller planes in Wisconsin, to fly into the backwoods of Minnesota to visit these people. And it was at night, and it was winter, and it was one of these little tiny propeller planes, so it's really loud. And there's only one empty seat on the plane. So we get into the air, and the steward sits in the empty seat right behind me and starts asking me. Of course, I'm dressed in my collar.
Right.
And he started asking me questions about the faith. Turns out he's a fallen away Catholic.
Praise God.
He's a fallen away Catholic. And he's asking me all the, you know, the hot button questions, you know, contraception and married priests and homosexuality and all the you know, the most popular, you know, hot button questions. And I'm giving him all these answers. I'm a zealous young brother. I'm going to convert him. I'm going to bring him back into the church. And, and he just keeps jumping from topic to topic. And I'm starting to get the impression that he really doesn't care. He's just kind of, you know, playing a game with me. So the flight's coming to an end, and he gets up, and he's got kind of this smirk on his face. I've made no progress. And I'm kind of, you know, beginning to feel a crisis about this. You know, Lord, you know, I've given my life to you. Why can't I convert this guy? What's going on? What did I do wrong? And so he goes back, and we fly down, and we land, and we get up to leave, and we're taking our bags out of the overhead compartment. And as I'm taking my bag out of the compartment, the guy who was in the same row on the other side of the plane on the window seat comes up to me. With tears in his eyes.
God is good.
And he says, you know, because it was a loud plane, and so I had to talk loud the whole time I was in that conversation. He says, Father, I heard every word you said,
Praise God.
I really needed to hear it.
Wow. And like you said, God allowed you to know that. He wouldn't have you disheartened over it.
Every once in a while, he gives us those reminders when we need him. He knows what we need.
Right.
But it's just to show what you were saying. You know, when we have a little bit of courage to say yes to what God is asking of us right now, then He'll make it bear fruit in some other way that we don't know.
Absolutely. And as, you know, Pope Paul VI so wisely stated, that the Holy Spirit is the principal agent of conversion.
He's
it doesn't
it all
depend
together.
On us.
Yeah.
And another thing he says that in that encyclical that that I really like is that we can't evangelize until we've been evangelized. And so a book like this, a book that, you know, that God called you to write for men and women who want to be able to grow into a personal, deeper, you know, maybe we're all, you know, maybe we all have different stages of a personal relationship with the Lord. But all of us are called daily to continue to grow, to be perfect as he is perfect. And be is an action.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a verb, which means we're called to continue to be.
Mm-hmm. And to go deeper.
And to go deeper.
A little bit deeper every day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, that's why we called the book The Better Part.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the only title that occurred to me, and no one ever questioned it. You know, that's a line
from
the
Gospel. Oh, so you got the title yourself.
Yeah, I got the better part. It's the passage from Luke chapter 10 where Martha and Mary...
Chose the better part.
Yeah, and Mary is just, you know, Martha's trying to do her own thing, and that's good, you know, and mm-hmm. she's a saint too.
Yep.
But Mary chose the better part because she said, well, I'm just going to do whatever the Lord asks, and I'm going to sit at his feet and listen to his word. I'm going to let him evangelize me.
Right.
So then I'll be able to go and do whatever he asks. And that's the concept of prayer. If we make that daily God time, even mm-hmm. if it's only 10 minutes,
exactly,
then we give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in our souls mm-hmm. and to make us better instruments and to strengthen us and to kind of fill up our pitcher so we can fill up other people's pitchers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, you know, for sure, God doesn't touch us for us.
Hmm.
He touches us for others.
Yeah.
Just like we've been touched through another, somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're baptized into Christ, of course, through our baptism. But, you know, Mother Church affords us all the grace through the sacramental life of the Church, of mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. ultimate being, of course, Eucharist. But, again, the sacrament of reconciliation to wash us and cleanse us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't take advantage of these gifts, and that's why I said that's my heart's call to the, that's mm-hmm, what I feel mm-hmm. called to stir mm-hmm. the flame to for people to realize how blessed we are in the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
how blessed we are that he has never left us, nor will he ever,
no.
Because he remains with us through the Eucharist
yeah.
until the end of time.
It's just an unbelievable abundance of means mm. that God gives us to know him better, to love him better, to serve him better, to be transformed by him. I think, for me personally, the analogy between physical health and spiritual health is a very helpful one along those lines, in the sense that if you think about someone who's health conscious, about their physical mm. health, they work on their nutrition,
right,
and then work on their exercise. Basically, those are the two yep. big things, right? And there's all kinds of other little things you can do,
yeah.
but nutrition and exercise. And you know, for us, for the spiritual life, it's very similar. We need spiritual nutrients, mm. which comes from the sacraments.
Absolutely.
Jesus took the form of bread on purpose. He says, I want to be your nourishment.
Absolutely.
I want to be your strength. And then exercise. And I think we exercise the grace that we receive through prayer and action. When we pray, when we make that decision to battle against distractions, mm. to close the door, our Lord said, go into your room. Be alone
be
with
still.
The Father. Be
mm-hmm.
still. It's so hard to do
it
in
is.
These busy lives. By doing that, just the mere fact that
the
we're exercising,
discipline.
Yeah, we're exercising our faith in God, and we're mm-hmm. and so we're exercising that virtue, so it gets stronger, and then through our action, through saying yes to whatever God is asking us, which means first of all, be faithful to your vocation,
right,
and then be like Christ in your work, in your friendships, in your relationships, and then whatever He asks you else to do, you know, the works of mercy, the apostolate, spreading the faith,
right.
Okay, those are the things as well. So those prayer and action, that's how we exercise. Sacraments is how we receive
right.
Nutrients into our spiritual life.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, as you said, on the physical level, we do. We go to gyms, we work out, we eat well. Well, some of us. and then, you know, so that we grow physically
so
strong.
So that we grow and we stay healthy
and we're
stay able
healthy.
To do our mission in life.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
And we have to flex our spiritual muscles, I think.
Absolutely.
The same way.
Absolutely. And when we do, they get stronger.
Amen. And for those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to What the World Needs Now. This is In His Sign, Catholic Radio. And we're blessed today to have with us Father John Bartunek. Okay, Bartunek. And he's a priest 6 years now, and he is going to be over at St. Norbert's tonight. And if you want to hear a dynamite presentation, words spoken from the heart, come on out to St. Norbert's tonight. It's at 7 p.m., and that is at St. Norbert's, of course, and it's at Route 252, south of Route 30, and that's in Paoli. I encourage you. I would assure, I'm sure they could just go in at the last minute, right? So come on out, hear a great presentation. It's on God's agenda. And if there's something we need to hear, it's what God wants to say. I remember I was doing a conference once, and it said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And I said, so often I start out by saying, we usually say, "Listen, Lord, your servant speaking." So my brothers and sisters, if you want to hear a wonderful presentation about God's agenda, we always want, we're always seeking God's will. And this is a beautiful time of the year, the beginning of a new year, year of the priest. You have a wonderful priest that's coming out to give this talk. So once again, St. Norbert's at 7 o'clock p.m. Father would like to see you there. As a matter of fact, come on up. Tell me you heard it on the radio today and you decided to come. And if today you hear his voice, heart and not your heart, God might be tapping you on the shoulder to come and hear all about God's agenda. And of course, we know you were down today at St. Isaac Jogues. And you gave a presentation down there. What was that on?
That was on inner beauty.
Inner beauty.
Inner beauty. There's a women's Bible study there called Walking with Purpose.
Oh, yes.
And so we talked about the difference between inner beauty and outer beauty. The differences and the similarities.
Yes. Very good. And so tonight, come on out and listen. And you'd be surprised. He's just a priest that you can feel the passion for his Lord and his Savior, the passion for his church. Mother Church. So come on out. St. Norbert's tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. Be there. We're also going to talk a little bit. We talked earlier, just in case you just tuned in, we talked that Father had really been called and prepared long before he knew it to come into to the Catholic Church. In his later college years, he was received into the church. He talked about the journey that took him there, how his heart swelled with love when he went to Italy and, of course, in Poland. And he felt drawn to the church and he fell in love, a deeper, deeper love. And, of course, you said you experienced the first movements of God in your life were really through the Protestant church, mm-hmm. our brothers and sisters. And he said the more he studied history, he was a history major, the more he studied history, the signs were all, you can't study history without learning about the church in any aspect of history. Mm-hmm. So we are blessed to have him with us today. He is a legionnaire and he is ordained 6 years now. And we were talking about his book, The Better Part. And it's, I'm just going to ask him to give a little synopsis on that book. If you've just tuned in, I think it's that important that you hear about it. You can get the book, of course, on Amazon.com. And it's a circlepress.com. You could also order it through. So tell us a little bit, just a little synopsis in case somebody was tuning in late. The Better Part.
The Better Part, which is subtitled A Christ-Centered Resource for Personal Prayer. And the concept of the book is that it's something that's very practical but substantial, and it's designed to help people pray better, to actually... in the midst of all the swirl of activity and noise and distraction in our world, which is so present, people are still being called to pray. Mm-hmm. And the your own listeners, if I'm sure, are called. They feel that God's asking, go a little deeper. I have more to say to you. And this book is designed to help people do that in a daily way, a daily God time. The book includes the four Gospels and commentaries each of on the Gospels, which are divided up into different passages and commentaries on each, designed to help you know Christ better so you can love him better, so you can follow him better.
Mm. Very good. We talked a moment on the break, and to my surprise, this is quite an accomplished young man. When God moves, he moves powerfully. And we were talking about each one of us being open to God's moving. And it doesn't happen without prayer, does it, Father?
No.
It really doesn't. If we're not praying, people say, well, Kath, I'm really busy. I say, well, if you're too busy to pray, you're plain too busy. So we have to take the time, you know, to take, even if you start it with, as you said, 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, your hunger grows for more, you know. So I would encourage you to get this book. I'm going to get a signed copy, and when I do, I'll be telling you all about it, and we'll bring Father back to do a book review. And as I was listening to the way the Lord has gone before and prepared his way, I find out that he worked on Mel Gibson's The Passion. And before I ask him to expound on that, I'm going to ask you to, if you'd like to talk to Father, you have a question for him, you'd like to make a comment on what we're talking about today, give us a call, 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free anywhere else, 1-888-343-2484. And by the way, if you're just getting home, this is perfect drive time, and you really don't want to turn your car radio off. You can always run inside, turn on your computer, and listen to live radio, www.inhissign.com. Click on listen to live radio, and you won't miss a beat. And so, Father, with that, we're going to go in and talk a little bit about the movie, The Passion. And he really decided on this movie at a very critical time in his own faith walk.
Yeah, it's what you said. It's about responding to what God is asking of us. And Mel Gibson spent many years away from his faith in his early acting years and came back to it later on after he was already a big success and having everything that the world had to offer. And he started coming back to his faith because he was looking for a deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. And the stuff of the world hadn't given it to him. And he came back and he started to pray and he started to go back to Mass. And he experienced God's presence in his life for a few years very powerfully. And it was kind of in a response to that action of God in his life, he started to feel a desire to share what he had experienced about God's love. Mm. It was an interesting conversation I had with him. I ended up working on the film and spending a lot of time with him because I wrote a book about the movie called Inside the Passion.
Oh, you're the one that wrote that?
Yeah. That's.
I reviewed that and talked about it on the air.
There you go, small world. So in conversations with him, it's funny, the moment where he kind of came back into contact with God was when he had begun to study and learn about how much our Lord suffered during the Passion and what crucifixion was really like and what flagellation was really like, because we don't know. We don't do that anymore, right? Well, now we do because he showed us in the film. But so he began to study that, and he realized how much our Lord had suffered, and that made him think, I'm sure under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, maybe he can even forgive me if he loves me that much. So that sense of the intensity of our Lord's suffering, reflecting the intensity of our Lord's love, so maybe he can even forgive me who have sinned so severely over so many years. So that was his experience. Now, that was kind of what opened him up, and he started to pray again. And when that kind of rejuvenated his own faith and his own joy, and he felt like he had to tell that story to others. And now he's a movie maker, right? So how is he going to tell the story? He's going to make a movie. So and that movie has impacted so many lives.
Oh, absolutely.
And will continue to do so.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect example of everything we've been talking about, that God is willing and eager to work through us and gives us little hints and nudges, but he'll never force us, but he invites us. And if we just step out and put our talents, maybe we're not a movie maker, but whatever we are, whatever talents we do have, just like the kings on Epiphany, right? They brought what they had.
That's right.
And if we just each do that, then we're doing our part to build Christ's kingdom.
That's right. I mean, look at the boy with the fish.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, it fed multitudes
because
it was offered to God.
Because he gave it to God first. Exactly.
And I think that's, that's the message that needs to be spoken. It's the message that really needs to be out there. And I think if people begin to realize, Father, and you can maybe talk on this point, and I think it needs to come from a priest, quite frankly, because let's face it, if we don't have the priest is the first one that's going to be attacked, the church and the priest. And if we don't have the priest, the church sooner or later won't exist, because it's only through the priest and the gift of the sacred hands through ordination that can bring Christ. Truly, we all can experience Christ in one another, but to have him truly present on that altar, to nourish us and feed us so that we can grow stronger in him. It is through the priest. So I'd like your take on this. But I share with people all the time, they say, well, I too, like Mel Gibson, they've maybe experienced God's infinite love and mercy. The sins that they think cannot be forgiven, they found mercy through the heart of Christ. And they'll say to me, you know, I wish I could do what you do. I wish I could go out there and talk in the parishes or talk at a conference. And I said, you can. Tell your story in your own words. That's all I do. I'm a storyteller. Believe me, that is it. No, nothing else. God has given me my life. And I've had a lot of things happen in my life. And I believe that he's called me to be a storyteller, to share what he's done in my life. And if everybody begins to realize they can proclaim the gospel, I mean, either, what was it? St. Francis said it, if necessary, use words. But we need to be credible witnesses, you know, authentic, credible witnesses. And if we put it in our own words, like Mel Gibson, he experienced God's love and mercy. He wanted to let everybody know that. He was a producer, as you said, filmmaker. He made a movie. But there's so many ways that people can share the gospel message, share God's love and his mercy in their own words. That's all it takes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the image that comes to mind as you're talking is the image of the sun, which is, you know, which spreads light and warmth and nourishment to the world by nature. I mean, that's what it does. It shines by nature. And when our relationship with the sun, S-O-N, is alive, is real, matters to us, even if we're not mystical, super mystical advanced, when that relationship is alive, then everything we do becomes part of God's story, which is a story of salvation. And so we begin to shine. And the more that Christ is real in our own hearts, the deeper our friendship with him is, and we deepen that through prayer, through the sacraments, through knowing our faith, the deeper our friendship is with him, the more we will shine, and we will shine in our normal everyday activities. We will know when we can give a word of encouragement, when we can give an act of mercy, when we can reach out to someone who's suffering, to someone who's confused, to someone who's ignorant, to someone who's in need. That's how we continue telling the story.
Amen.
By being like Christ. That's what Jesus did at Christmas. He came down to us and reached out to us and came into our lives and brought us his grace.
Right.
And when we have him in our hearts, we become kind of like portable tabernacles.
Absolutely.
And we go around the world bringing him into other people's lives. And as you say, sometimes we use words. Other times it's just going that extra mile, like the gospel says, to forgive, to be patient, to do something for someone who's in need, to reach out, to be sensitive. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's how the church spread early on.
Exactly.
It was through Christians who acted like Christ in their normal everyday lives, and the Holy Spirit took that as the raw material and built beautiful saints out of it.
I think that's what's so encouraging, the story of the woman at the well. For sure, Jesus touched her heart with his infinite love and mercy and forgiveness, gave her new life. And she went and told everybody right away. And yet it says at one point in that story that they no longer depended on the woman's story because they came to know the Lord themselves. So when we share what the Lord has done for us, it plants a seed in someone else's heart. When God waters that, it grows so that they can go share what God has done in their lives. And
well, that ties back into what you mentioned about the priesthood. And the priesthood is the image of, you know, that comes even etymologically, the image of the word pontifex in Latin. It means it's a bridge builder. The priesthood is a bridge between someone who's far from God and God. And every Catholic, through our baptism, shares in what's called the priesthood of all the faithful. We're all called to be bridges, so that through our lives, through our example, through our service, through our words, other people can, they cross over us and they enter into friendship with Christ, and then he takes it from there.
Right.
You know, so it's that we don't have to save the world.
Exactly.
You know, we're just messengers of the Savior.
Right. I can remember, I guess, about 40 years ago. In October, it'll be 40 years. And for me, you know, the beauty of our church is that there's many different ways to experience the living God.
Mm-hmm.
To some, it's through Bible study. To others, it's through that faithful person that's been at Mass every day, mm-hmm. saying a rosary or his rosary. And for somebody like me who had been away from the church for years, it was through the grace of the charismatic renewal
mm-hmm.
that the Lord called me back to his self. Back to his heart, that I experienced a longing and a hungering thirst for Eucharist that I walked away from, not realizing who mm-hmm. I was walking away
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was truly present.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was physically there. And it was through, for me, through the charismatic renewal that I came back to the fullness of the church and eventually completely reconciled to the church through divine mercy and grace. And because of that, I believe that we're all wounded healers.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
That because of where I was, I can, through my own woundedness, now I can share God's infinite love and mercy, what he did in my heart and soul. I can go share that with others. And that's what wounded, I mean, there was, Jesus Christ was a wounded healer when mm-hmm. he walked the earth, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we really understand that we might be the only Bible somebody might read.
Yeah, that's
right.
We know that concept is of the wounded healer is very, very beautiful, and it's very rich. You asked me to speak from the point of view of a priest.
Yes.
And as a priest, I remember, I mean, you never forget your first Mass, mm. right? I was in Rome. I had been ordained in Rome, and I celebrated my first Mass at the altar in the Church of Santa Maria del Popolo, mm. where Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation, had celebrated Mass when he came to Rome before he had revolted against the Church, because
yes.
he was a Catholic priest, an Augustinian
right.
priest. So I used that same altar. You know, we had to dust it off and clean it up and use that same altar because I had been a Protestant and I had come to the Church and I prayed for unity of Christians. But the thing that really struck me at the moment, the first time that I prayed the words of consecration
mm.
to bring our Lord onto the altar, was the very humble condition of the bread. It's this, you know, it's plain, it's tasteless, it's thin, it's fragile, it's weak, and that's what God chooses to make himself present in mm. the world. In the Eucharist.
And what an awesome thought.
And what came to me immediately after that thought was, well, I'm like that bread.
Amen.
I mean, I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, God has called me to be a channel through which he will reach into hearts, into the world. And it's not because, you know, the bread doesn't become the body of Christ because it's so strong and tasty and, you know, freshly baked. And that's
right.
not why. And every Christian, I think that's the message of God's mercy and the power of his redemption. You know, we are weak, we are fragile, we are plain, we are tasteless, we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, God, if we let him, if we just kind of show up,
mm-hmm.
then he will come and dwell within us and reach out and nourish the world through us.
Mm-hmm.
We are like the Eucharist in that sense.
Yes, we're called.
And we're everyone is
we're all called, and God doesn't call us without sending us.
Yeah, no, call us to send. He called them to be with him and then sent them out to preach the word. That's
to become what we receive, right?
Yeah, to become what we receive, that's right. So, but I think, you know, so that's why I think sometimes people, even some of our listeners, you know, right now, they might think, well, you know, I really can't do much. But all we have to be is like a little wafer, like that mm-hmm. little, you know, just that little.
That's an awesome thought.
Yeah, that's, we don't need to be spectacular.
Right, right.
God's the one who saves the world. And I think even with our life of prayer, something very similar. I think sometimes we're afraid to embark upon a regular prayer life because, I don't know how to do it.
Right.
But it's very simple. I mean, that's, you know, the book, The Better Part. It's actually not that complicated.
We can do it.
Everyone can do it. God is glorified when we who are weak and who are who are needy, do wonderful things with his grace. That's
he's
how
not finished with us yet.
Oh, he's definitely not finished. Yeah.
And I tell everybody all the time, you know, we're all work in progress.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can't forget that. You know, sometimes we can beat ourselves up, going along fine, and then boom, you know, you fall and you realize your own sinfulness. And I take that as a gift from the Lord, because sometimes we can become a little complacent.
Absolutely.
And that's why I say a book like The Better Part would also bring up all those issues
that happen
day in, day out in daily living.
Yeah, it helps us refresh our kind of keep a perspective on ourselves and on the world around us. That's God's perspective, because that's not easy to do. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Yes, years ago.
Unbelievable.
How real,
Yeah, very real. And it's all about, for those listeners, there's an experienced devil is instructing his nephew, who's a rookie, on how to tempt people. And at one point in one of the letters, he says, you know, the humans are kind of foolish. They think that we're trying to put things into their mind. But actually, our most common tactic is to keep things out of their minds. We want to keep them from thinking about how powerful God is, how loving God is, how merciful God is, how patient God is. We don't want them to think about those things.
Right.
You know? And I think so by carving out some time each day to spend with the Word in prayer, we let those truths become the habitual kind of point of view of our own minds, and we begin to see all things as God does.
That's right. He really that's the one gift they say, and the Scriptures tells us when we ask for wisdom, He gives us a double portion.
Double portion. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The double portion. I forgot about
we
that.
We don't even have to say, give me a double portion.
Yeah,
he knows that's how much we need it.
Yeah, exactly.
We are. Yeah. Isn't a sheep the dumbest animal living? that's why we need a shepherd. So, Father, we only have a minute or so left. Frank, in our closing moments, I'd like you to close with prayer, if you'd be so kind. Put you on the spot here. And I want to remind everybody again to go to St. Norbert's. I'm surprised phones weren't ringing off the hook. Obviously, they're very interested and didn't want to leave their where they were. So my brothers and sisters, go to St. Norbert's tonight. Listen to God's Agenda, 7 o'clock p.m. over at St. Norbert's. And again, it is Route 252 south of Route 30, 7 o'clock p.m. And Father, if you would lead us in a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you love us with the perfect Father's love, and you are always thinking of us.
Yes,
Lord. And you promise that you will never abandon us, and you will lead us closer and closer to you through your Son's heart. I ask you to bless all of the listeners this evening, to bless their families, to send your grace into the dark corners of the world and the dark corners of our hearts where we most need it. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, remember this, you're never alone. Remember that he who is within you is far greater than he who is in the world. Go let your light shine, dispel the darkness in your part of the world. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.